Welcome to Reconcile Church Miami, Pastor Joel Alonso.
I have a beautiful stepson, and he's six. His name is Justin. And yesterday I got the opportunity to tell him, Justin, I love being your stepdad. And he looked at me and he smiled. And it's this smile of innocence, of love, of endearment. I'm not his dad, and he's not my son. But he knows who I am, and I know who he is. And that relationship that we have is special because of that. Because he knows who I am. And I treat him for who he is. A six-year-old who is crazy and wants to do everything he can and runs around and I have to chase him. But he's my stepson. And I love him. I would talk about adoption. I would talk about being grafted into the family of Christ. And then I married my wife and I got a stepson. And although I haven't adopted him, I'm loving a child who was outside of my family, but now is in. And on that day, I had a deeper appreciation for what adoption is. You see, I saw this amazing thing God did in my life. And I wanted to put a stake in that. And I wanted to say, this is me. And I'm not alone in that. You see, all throughout the Old Testament, we see people witnessing God's power and putting a stake in it. Noah, when he came out of the ark after being delivered, he did what? He built an altar. Abram, after traveling and settling across from Lot, he did what? He built an altar. Isaac, at the end of his travels, when God tells him, I am with you the same way I was with your fathers, he did what? He built an altar. Pastor Jose, Pastor Alex, Pastor Jesse, they saw God's work in their lives, in the people around them, and they built an altar. They planted Providence Road. And they said, this is our stake in God's kingdom. The Grove, Golden Pines, Coral Gables, South Miami, this is our stake. This is where we are planting our lives and our efforts. But they didn't see it as that's the end. They said, hey, we need to keep going. And Cutler Bay looks like a good idea. And they are sending Aldo and I, they're sending us out to put our stakes somewhere else. And Aldo and I have seen, we have tasted God's glory and his immense love, and we are building an altar. We are building a place for you, for us to worship at. Not just a place to come together, not just a place to say, hey, that's where I go to on weekends and on Wednesday nights, but we are planting a place to worship. And this place of worship has a center, has a focus, and that is Christ. And like Aldo was saying, Christ is the center of our prayer, of our evangelism, of our ministry, of our lives. And as our community around us has pushed that center away, has pushed Christ away from the center, we are laboring to dig him back in. To make him beautiful, to make him known in this community. The gospel, like Aldo has been saying, is about Christ, is having Christ, having God himself. He is ours, amen? He is ours and we are his. So the mission of our church is to faithfully expand God's kingdom here. But the amazing part is that we're not laboring on our own strength. Because on our own strength, we could get to a certain place, but right after that, I mean, have you seen Aldo and I play basketball? One more game, guys, one more game. That's an inside joke, sorry. We don't last long. We can't get very far. But the amazing thing is that it's not us. We are resting in Christ's finished work. On the cross, he said, "It is finished." He didn't say, "Tag, you're it, keep going." He said, "It's done." He said, "It's done. Therefore, go. Therefore, go." So we're in Colossians chapter 1, and we're reading this last verse, verse 29, where it says, "I labor for this, striving in his strength that works powerfully in me." So what is Paul striving for? What is he working towards? This is a church that he hasn't met yet. It's a church he didn't plant. But what he does in this opening chapter is amazing. He encourages them. He admonishes them with the centrality of Christ and the gospel. He's striving for those two things, to make Christ center and to share the gospel, which are one and the same. So to show this, I want to go back earlier in the chapter, Colossians 1, 15 through 20. And it's worth reading because here's what Paul is admonishing this church with. Guys, you meet, you congregate, you are a church. And this is what I want to show you. And he gives them this hymn of sorts. "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions, or rulers, or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He, Christ, is before all things, and by him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him and through him to reconcile everything to himself by making peace through the blood of his cross. Whether things on earth or things in heaven, our comfort is that God does the work, not us." Good night. Put a fork in it. God is doing the work, not us. He continues and he explains what's happening in a Christian's life when they come to know their Savior. So in verses 21 through 23, he explains, "Once you were alienated and hostile in your minds because of your evil actions. But now he has reconciled you by his physical body through death to present you holy, faultless, and blameless before him. If indeed you remain grounded and steadfast in the faith and are not shifted from the hope of the gospel that you have heard. The gospel has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and I, Paul, have become a servant of it." Paul is writing to a church, and you guys have believed the gospel. You are proclaiming the gospel. You are serving each other in the gospel. And here's more gospel. We here at Reconcile want to preach the gospel. We want to experience the gospel. We want to make Christ the center. Jesus himself said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me." He didn't mince words. At the end of his life, he said, "I am sending the Comforter. And it is through him that we can do this." So what does it mean? That Christ is our topic, our obsession, our life, and that he is ours? It's that what we labor in our Christianity, husbands, when you minister to your wives, when you serve your families, pastors, when you pastor your church, friends, when you help friends, children, when you obey your parents, when we do these things, we are participating in Christ. So yes, washing the dishes is a gospel thing, husbands. Cutting the grass is a gospel thing. Serving meals to the person across the street who just got out of the hospital is a gospel thing. And we are called to these things and more. And more. So here we are. We're planting a church in Color Bay. We're borrowing a space from a church in Color Bay. We want just churches everywhere is what we want. We want Christ to be proclaimed on every corner. Because until he's proclaimed in every corner, we won't be satisfied. So what does that look like for us? I want to show you Solomon's heart. King Solomon. See, his father David had this crazy idea. Let's build a temple. Let's build a place for God to dwell. Up until that point, God had dwelt in the tabernacle when it was built, when they were doing service. But David desired, let's have a fixed place. Let's build this place where God can dwell. The house of the Lord. God told David, okay, but you won't build it. Your son will. The Lord decides how and when things happen. So if we go to 1 Kings 8:23, we see Solomon, after he has dedicated this temple to the Lord, he prays. And if you know anything about this temple, it's this massive structure built out of the finest materials, the finest cedar, gold, silver. The walls were thick with gold. The best of the land. They essentially grabbed all the precious metal they could that God commanded to use for this. And unlike Donald Trump, who would put his name on top, Solomon didn't call it Solomon's temple. He called it the house of the Lord. So maybe we should change that. He says, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth below, keeping the gracious covenant with your servants who walk before you with their whole heart. Solomon doesn't stand there and say, look at what we've done, guys. Look at this amazing structure. He says, God, there's no one like you. There is nothing that compares, not even this glorious temple compares to the glory and wonder of God. And a little further on, he asks this rhetorical question. And he says, but will God indeed live on earth? Even heaven, the highest heaven, cannot contain you, much less this temple I have built. Listen to your servant's prayer and his petition, Lord, my God, so that you may hear the cry and the prayer that your servant prays before you today, so that your eyes may watch over this temple night and day toward the place where you said, my name will be there, and so that you may hear the prayer that your servant prays toward this place. Will God indeed live on earth? Will he dwell among his people? Can you imagine after all these years of building this temple, because God said, build it, he still can't grasp the fact that God will be with them. He can't fathom it. He says, heaven can't contain you. Earth can't contain you. And yet you will dwell in this place. This is Solomon before the coming of Christ. We here have seen the Christ. The Christ was portrayed to us as crucified. We have seen him here. And we know that he dwells with us. He dwells within you. This awe, this wonder that Solomon has in his heart is what we want to instill in all of Color Bay, in all of Miami, in the whole world. But it starts with us. We need to be captivated by that glory. We need to be dedicated to that glory. We need to say, like Paul said, that we did not preach with lofty words, but we preached Christ and Christ crucified. So what are we praying for this church? And how can you guys pray for this church? Well, our prayer is that God would, through the Holy Spirit, empower this church plant. What does that mean? It means that we need help. We need a lot of help. We need God's Spirit in our evangelism, in our ministry to the saints, in our devotion to God, in our day-to-day walk, in our day-to-day talk. We need God to give us strength to even wake up in the morning. Our next prayer is that the Spirit would go before us, captivate the hearts of those who He desires. If God doesn't work before us, we can't do anything. We can't accomplish anything. Next, we want that Christ would be made beautiful by our efforts. We don't want people to come in here and say, look at their nice signs. Look at how eloquently they talk. Look at how nice the children's ministry is. We want them to walk in here and say, there is something different. There is a love. There is a joy that permeates everyone in this room. I mean, I love it that whenever I hear people talk about PRC, more than anything, I hear that when I walked in there, I felt like I was home. I want RCM to be home. I want it to be home for more than just our human relationships. Oh yeah, we hang out and we do this. We play basketball, we do that. No, but that we are together in the gospel through the love of Christ. I desire that Cutler Bay would see that. We desire that people would come to know Jesus. Seems redundant, right? But our efforts are null and void if people don't know Christ. Like Aldo said, we're not here to make moral people more moral or immoral people even moral. We're here to see people profess Christ, give their life to Christ, be saved by Christ. God is doing this. We go back to our verse, right? We are laboring in Christ. If God is able to bring up children from rocks, He's able to use donkeys to talk about His glory. He even says that out of the mouth of babies and infants, His glory will be known. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need Reconcile. He doesn't need Providence Road. He doesn't need Christ City. He needs gospel-loving Christians. So how amazing is it that He decides to give us this privilege of sharing in His gospel work? Now, whether you are part of RCM, whether you will pray for us, whether you will share in our laughter, in our joy, and in our crying, you have the privilege of taking part of the gospel story. You can forget about me. You have that privilege. You can forget about RCM, but you have that privilege. Christ has not called you to a mute faith, but one that is loud, one that is seen, one that is heard, and one that is real. So pray with me. Don't just pray with me tonight. Pray with me tomorrow and the next day. Join us either in prayer, on a weekly basis, with a phone call, with anything you can. So pray with me now. Lord Jesus, we love You, and we ask that You would be beautiful in our hearts, in the hearts of those in Cutler Bay, and Father, that You would go before us, that Lord, as You led the people through the wilderness with a pillar of fire at night and a pillar of cloud during the day, that You would lead us. Holy Spirit, work in our hearts. May You continue to soften us. May You continue to aliven us. And we thank You because we were dead bones in a valley, and You breathed life into us. So Father, continue that work. Lord, may we be captivated by Your work on the cross. We thank You because it is through that we have access to the throne room of grace, that we have confidence that what you began, you will finish. And Father, we lift you up in this city, the way that Moses lifted the bronze serpent, the way that the apostles proclaimed your word in Pentecost, the way that they walked city to city proclaiming the good news. Father, be glorified. Jesus, be made known. Spirit, work in us. It's in your precious and holy name that we pray. Amen.
That concludes our message, and we hope that you were inspired by it. If you'd like to hear more about the gospel or find out more about Reconciled Church Miami, please connect with us using one of the ways listed on our website, reconciledchurchmiami.org.